Lord, we pray that you would continue to speak to us by your word.
Amen.
Thank you for opening our eyes to see concerning your heavenly constitution.
Amen.
We pray that in these last days you would train us in your ways.
Amen.
To walk by the Spirit.
Amen.
And that you as the holy anointing would direct our ways.
Amen.
That we also could follow in your footsteps all the way to the throne.
Amen.
From the youngest to the oldest amongst us.
Amen.
Lord, bring us to the goal, Lord.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. My, I was very refreshed last night with the feast meeting. And as was shared, from the youngest to the oldest, to see the offerings, the spiritual sacrifices given to our God and Father. I don't know about you, if you felt fed, well pleased, but I was very much strengthened and encouraged to see how the Lord is working in the daily lives of all the saints, right? And I think we should realize and we should know that the practice of the holy priesthood goes hand in hand with us learning to live according to the heavenly constitution. These are not two separate things in the sense that they're separate, exclusively apart from each other. For all of us to begin to live according to this heavenly kingdom, then we should definitely be practicing the holy and the royal priesthood. Because that is the way to get us all the way to the goal. You consider the beginning of the conference, we spoke so much about being obedient to Jesus Christ as our anointed king. Well, how do you become obedient? How do we learn obedience? It is through Christ as the burnt offering. Oh, he's the only one that was obedient to the Father and one with the Father, and he was qualified to reach the throne. And for us today, for us to reach this goal, the intrinsic characteristics of the kingdom people, this is not us, it's only Christ. Right? And we partake of him, experience him day by day, right? To do the will of the Father. Then we also need Christ as our meal offering. Right? And blessed are the peacemakers. Well, how can we become peacemakers unless we also experience Christ as the peace offering? And then for so many that I heard, you know, to overcome sin. Right? We have this flesh that prevents us from living this kingdom life. Well, this is why Christ is the sin offering. He's overcome everything. He has overcome this sinful, released us from this law of sin and of death. Right? And even some of the children, they were speaking about having to apologize to one another because they slammed the door on their finger and not get mad, and right? Praise the Lord for the trespass offerings, right? All of these offerings causes us to change, to be transformed more and more into the image of Christ, right? So I hope it becomes very clear that the priesthood goes hand in hand for us to carry out and to live according to the heavenly constitution. Because this is God's wisdom in transforming us and training us in this way. Right? And so today, we want to go on to the last part of chapter 7. Right? The Lord is so simple and so direct when it comes to the heavenly constitution. In the same way he was simple and direct with the Ten Commandments in the Old Covenant, I hope it's very simple and very clear for us regarding what the heavenly constitution is. And as we are encouraged, read the word. Read the constitution. You young people, you all have sharp minds. You are very good at your studies. You can memorize. You can Why not write the Constitution into your hearts, into your mind, and into your hearts? Because then the Spirit, the Holy Spirit as the anointing, will bring remembrance to each one of you by His Word that is in our heart. And the warnings at the end of the Heavenly Constitution are also quite simple and direct and to the point. Right? In when you go to chapter 7, verse 15, the Lord already is warning us. Beware of false prophets. Beware of false prophets. This is Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. A very good picture. A very good picture. If we are partaking from those who are the false teachers, false prophets, then you will know. You will know by the fruit of that. Right? And this should become very apparent to all of us. Right? You have a bad tree and it'll produce bad fruit. You have a good tree, they have good fruit. So what source are we pulling from? The Lord is warning us. Right? Because everyone is doing what is right in their own eyes. Some have said, we don't need the Ten Commandments anymore. Or maybe they might not say that publicly, but in their hearts. Are we keeping that in our hearts? But the point is, some will tell you, no, you don't need to do that. And of course, some will for sure tell you, don't practice the priesthood. Because that's Old Testament. The Lord is warning us. This is why at the end of the Constitution, it's so good to be warned, not to be deceived, not to be deceived. Because today, Satan is doing everything he can to deceive us from going the narrow way, from reaching God's ultimate goal for all of us to become kings and priests. Do not despise this heavenly Constitution. Because this is who we should be. This is what the kingdom people should be. And may the Lord guard our hearts in this way. And you will definitely see the fruits. You will definitely see the fruits. You don't need to look outside. Just look within your own life. Look at the fruit from last night. Why? Weren't you not encouraged? We're all making progress. The Lord is working, and you can see the fruit that is well-pleasing to the Father. Right? So may we learn and discern not to be distracted and not to be deceived by the false teachers. Right? Then if we go on to verses 21 through 23, if we can read these three verses together. Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of the Father
in heaven. And he will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name?
Right.
Cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.
Amen. I think this should be very straightforward and clear to all the saints. Let no one who says to me, Lord, Lord, not everyone, right? Not everyone, right? That was this morning when we were reading the verses at the breakfast table and Nathan goes, not? That was the very first word that stuck out. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. So that means there is a condition here. And it says, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Right, today, the question everyone asks is, are we doing the will of the Father? And because it goes on, it says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Right? So many wonderful good works done in the name of the Lord. Shouldn't that qualify them to enter into the kingdom of God? Shouldn't that qualify? We're trying, you preach the gospel, thousands got saved. Wouldn't that qualify you automatically for the kingdom? No. He knows. Right? Because the next verse tells us, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. What is this lawlessness that the Lord is warning us about? You should all know, right? We've been talking about it this weekend. What have we been talking about? The heavenly constitution. This is the heavenly constitution of Zion, of God's kingdom. Are we practicing lawlessness? Or are we living out this heavenly constitution together with the Lord? Right? Today, we can be involved with so many Christian church services. You can do so much. The question is the Lord going to say, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness? If the Lord never knew us, that means we haven't been spending time with the Lord. And if we don't spend time with the Lord, then how will we know what it is to practice righteousness according to his constitution? I don't need to make many comparisons to outside of us. We have to ask ourselves this question in our own daily life. Right? Yes, we have a burden for the gospel. This is very good. We have the burden for the building up of the church. Very good. But the question is, are we still practicing lawlessness? Are we doing this according to God's heavenly kingdom? Right. And you know, one of the things that was also clear in this conference, where does the living of the heavenly constitution begin? Within our households, within our families, right? You know, when I was considering this passage, the Lord reminded me of something that my mom shared with me when I was in high school. She told me, because I used to admire all these brothers who preached the gospel. I was always amazed how eloquent they were. And I wanted to be like them, to be able to preach the gospel. The one thing my mom told me was, John, if you preach the gospel, but you don't care for your children, and you lose your children, that would be a great loss. And she reminded, because she actually highlighted some of the brothers that I knew. And he says, where are the children? I mean, their children. Where are their children? And many of these brothers that I really enjoyed serving together with, their children were not in the church anymore. And so this was a warning for my mom. My mom told me, John, when you grow up, take care of your children. And as we've seen in Malachi chapter 2, what does the Lord say about our children? What is the goal of our children? To raise them as godly offsprings. You know, with all of us, whether we are parents, whether we are children, some of you may say, well, this word's not applicable to me because I'm a single person. Well, no, this word is applicable to all of us. Right? If the heavenly constitution is not lived out within the family, within our households, then where is the testimony of God's kingdom in the church? Right. You know, for us, if we are to raise our families as godly offsprings, then we ourselves need to become examples, firstly, as parents, to set the example for the household. Within my family, there's always kind of a saying within us. If the Lord can't break through in our family, how can we encourage the saints? And I was speaking that more for me, not for my children. Because if the Lord can't break through in me in the raising up my family, how can we be effective in the raising up of the church life? So it begins with all of us. Right? It would be terrible if all I focused on was the gospel preaching in my young years and neglect my family, and if I would have lost my children to the world. That would be a strong, big loss for the family. Tragic, as you would say. A tragic loss to the family. And so when this word was spoken to me when I was in high school, it made a big impression in me. Growing up, to always keep one eye focused on taking care of the young people. Yes, there are so many things to take care of in the church life. I understand that. But God has entrusted us with godly offsprings. Who's going to teach our children the heavenly constitution? School? Okay, how about private Christian schools? Okay, how about children's meeting? The children's meeting teacher can teach the heavenly constitution to the children. It might help a little. But who are with the children the majority of their time? Ooh. Us, right? We are the parents, right? People always say, John, why are you always with the young people? That's part of the reason why. Okay, yeah, part of the time I like to just hang out with the young people because, you know. But deep within my heart, there's a real burden there. Because I want to see not just my children, but all of the children in the church grow up in Zion. But the only way that can happen is if there's an example and the prayer for them and then the care for them. Right? Paul writes a lot regarding the matter of the care of the young people. Right? If you go to Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, beginning in verse 1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Make a note about that, children. Right, Johanna? Think about that. Just remember that. I'll get back to you. Right? That it may be well with you and you may live long on earth. But verse 4 is to us parents. But you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. What is our view in raising our children? I understand we need to do a lot of correction just to be, you know, proper human beings. But do we also raise them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord to be kingdom people? Those who live in the kingdom, living according to the Constitution. Right? This is important, brothers and sisters. We always pray, not one left behind, especially the children. All the children should be in our hearts with the desire to bring them all the way to the goal. Right? And and a good litmus test, a good test in terms of how you're seeing your children grow up, is where they're at, is your children are always a mirror of yourself. This is what I also learned raising up my girls. All the bad things I do, I see it clear in a mirror. I go, oh my goodness, that's me in them. And I have to repent for those. Right? But I pray, my wife prays, we pray that the children, if they are going to be a mirror of us, that they would reflect not just the good qualities, but to reflect their living with Christ. Right? So the responsibility of raising up godly offspring is on all of us as parents to take care of our children, to teach them the ways. It's not just like what Moses said yesterday, right? He just brought out one verse, the golden rule. It's the whole Constitution, not just that one verse, the whole thing. And it starts when the children are young. You know, this day and age, they have these books out saying, don't discipline your children until after they turn 3. I was shocked to hear such a statement. In a book, a published book for parents, don't discipline your children until they're at the age of 3 and beyond. Sorry? They're almost gone. Don't think for once that you can't just discipline your children to raise them up to in a proper way before the age of 3. You can already do that. Because if you're not doing that, they're training you. You have to do this, right? But when you do it together with the Lord. Lord, I want my child to grow up as godly offsprings. Give me wisdom. Give me your way to raise them up when they're growing up in this way, right? And of course, yes, for the children. Now we come back to you guys. Right? Learn to obey your parents, for this is right. This is already in the Ten Commandments. And it's the first commandment with blessing. One of the thankful thing that I'm very thankful for my parents, for their discipline. Because I was as a young boy, I was pretty rebellious. And Mom said it was very hard to get me under control sometimes. And oftentimes I got swatted in the hand for that. Or if I hurt myself, I'll get a scolding before they take care of the bump on my head. But I'm thankful to that. Because what I did was I learned obedience to my parents. And you know, for all the younger children, if you learn obedience with your parents, and especially if you learn it together with the Lord, as you grow older, you will also learn obedience to the Lord. And you will want to do His will. It's a lot easier when you learn to do this when you're young, not when you're old. Because you're going to get corrections all the way until you're my age. I still get correction. My parents have passed away, but I still have my parents here and there. I'm thankful for that. Because if I don't get corrected, how am I going to learn? So as children, learn this. This is learning obedience, to be able to be trained in the way of the heavenly constitution. Right? So, brothers and sisters, yes, there is a lot to do in the church life. There's a lot to do for the church, for the preaching of the gospel, for the care of the new ones. But do not neglect what is in our very own household. The children of the church, the families, we are all kingdom people. Do not neglect them. Do not just let them be to go play. Right? They will respond if we love them, to care for them, not love them to spoil them, not love them to meet all their whims and wants and, you know, no. But to love them with the goal of training them to be godly offsprings. Right? And for all of us who are single, you're not married yet, guess what? You're an example for all the younger ones. And yeah, it's very good training for you if you're going to become a future parent. Because it was a good training for me. To be an example for the children. Don't just say, well, they're not my age, they're too small. No, take a little bit of time. You don't know. Sometimes these actions that you take will impact and will influence the younger ones. Right. Do we all want to make it together? Yes. Amen? We all want to reach the goal, to be kingdom people. Yes? To reach this ultimate goal, to become kings and priests. Well, the training begins within the family. Within the household, right? Then when you get to the last part here, in Matthew chapter 7, the Lord uses a very simple picture. And many of us as children should know the song, "The wise man built his house upon the..." And the foolish man built his house upon the... And what happened when the storms came? The one who was built on the stone became what happened when this... Right? Did the house collapse on the rock? No. But did the house collapse on the sand? Yes. Okay. So this is a very simple picture. It was a simple song for all of the children. I grew up with that song. But we should see that this heavenly constitution is the rock. It's the foundation of God's kingdom today. Without this foundation of the kingdom, when the storms come, for sure it will collapse. For sure it will fall apart. So you got the message? Very simple. This is a simple picture. The kingdom, the constitution of the kingdom, is the rock which we build upon. It is Christ, who is, in essence, the living constitution. He is this foundation, and he is within each one of us. Together with the Word and him as the holy anointing, he will be the rock and foundation for us. So when the trials come, it might not be a raining storm, but it might be a situation between two siblings or a situation between me and my children. That's the storm, you could say. And without the foundation of the kingdom, what is that going to end up in? Right? We want the solid foundation of the rock. Right. The Lord is coming soon. And there's going to be many, many more tests and many more trials that we all have to go through. Because he wants this kingdom life worked into all of us. And he wants the Constitution lived out of us. But we cannot do it by ourselves. We need him. Right? And if we are obedient to the Lord, then we will be qualified for the coming kingdom age. And I'll go back to that one sentence that was said in the first evening. It says, everything Christ accomplished on the earth is for us. Don't forget that, brothers and sisters. Right? This is the amazing part of our anointed king. Is he doesn't just want us to live it. He wants to enable us by living through us so that we all can reach this goal. Everything he's done is for us to reach the goal. Do you believe it?
Amen.
Do we trust in the Lord to do this? Right? So may the Lord continue to work in us, right? The warnings are important, brothers and sisters. May we take it to heart. And may the Lord bring us all the way to the goal.
I just wanted to share something that I was really impressed with in the children's meeting yesterday. I shared it with a parent. So when I was doing the children's meeting yesterday, the youngest, littlest kid asked a very, very impressive question. So I was covering Matthew chapter 6, but I was introducing or giving them again the background of the kingdom, like Christ is our king, so who's the kingdom, what's the kingdom? And so I told them about the kingdom as the church and the people and how we have a different set of rules. And the youngest little kid asked me, can we see the kingdom? How do we see the kingdom? And that really made me think, and it was such a good opportunity for me to share about how, because we have a different set of rules, we have to live and behave differently from the people in the world. And so if you can see, I asked them, can you see the difference of your behavior from your classmates, of the saints, from the people of the world? And they said, yes, it's different. And I said, then that is already seeing the kingdom. And I told them that the kingdom of the Lord does not come with observation, but it is within our heart. And the topic today was really good because it also reinforced that the kingdom that they observe is not just from the saints, but it is in the household. And so I encouraged the parents of the kids, because we covered this yesterday, that they really do want to see, they were interested to see, what is this kingdom? How can we see it?
I also wanted to just add something that I was reminded about. There's these verses in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 to 9. And this was I was often reminded of these verses. Deuteronomy 6, 6 to 9, and I'll read it to you. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Amen. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And since we were talking about lawlessness, it says in what we read in Matthew chapter 7, that we need to do the will of the Father, right? Anyone who commits lawlessness, are those who do not do the will of the Father, who don't follow his commandments. And this is clearly in the law of the Lord, the law of God, to diligently teach them to your children. It says here, the words that I command you today. Right? So we may do so many things for the Lord, but if we miss out on this, then we are actually, if I may take it further, it is lawlessness. Yeah. because we're not taking care of something that we've been given a responsibility to take care of. The children are not, they don't just appear accidentally, right? They're not just, oh, given to you for nothing. It's because they are a responsibility. It's our responsibility to raise them up, as Malachi says, godly offspring. Whether you're a parent or not, if you are one day, going to be one day, always keep this in your mind, right? Because if we don't take care of this responsibility given to us, then we are actually, I believe, committing lawlessness, because we are not fulfilling our responsibility, right? And I can say, I can testify that if we don't take this matter seriously, down the road, it will cause a lot of problems in the church, and heartache, and sadness, and trouble, and unnecessary suffering. It's really unnecessary if we had just done what we were supposed to have done, right? And it's not a small matter. And I really believe that it is, this is one of the a commandment of the Lord, right? That we should diligently teach them to our children and talk of them when you sit in your house. Even at home, do we speak about the Lord? What is our conversation like at home? You know, when we are walking by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, all day long in our household, do we speak about the Lord? Is he in our heart, right? The words are always in our heart, so that we even speak of it at home and we teach them to our children. This is the way, right? So thank the Lord for this wonderful reminder.
I just want to say one thing. You know, I saw a lot of very zealous people for the Lord and for the church, but so many of their children got lost. They were so zealous and absolute that their children got lost. And I'm really happy to see the children here, because I've only visited here, but I see the children and the families. Just feel so happy to see them.
I second the motion.
And I see John's family, his children, grandchildren. Oh, I'm so happy.
By the Lord's mercy.
It is the Lord's mercy.
Amen. I have one verse. We have read in Matthew 5 that blessed are those who have a pure heart,
Amen.
They may see God.
Amen.
And the pure heart, just also encouragement for the children, is a heart which obeys.
Yes.
It's an obedient heart.
Amen.
But this heart, we don't have it naturally, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But, you know, David in Psalm 51, he prayed, create, O God, in me a pure heart. So this word create, the subject is God. Only God can create. And it's good also to have this prayer, Lord, create in me a pure heart. Give me an obedient heart. Sometimes we will face, oh, I failed again to be obedient, but then don't give up. Go to the Lord and say, Lord, give me an obedient and a pure heart.
Amen.
Amen.
Me a question in the car yesterday, and it took me by surprise. The question was, when we learned about the priesthood 10 years ago,
just press the button.
My daughter's the techie, I am not. So when Sharon asked me this question, she said, when we learned about the priesthood 10 years ago, you said it changed your parenting. What did it change? And I looked at her and I couldn't think of the answer. I was like, why are you asking me this? And as John was sharing this morning, the Lord reminded me actually what our conversation 10 years ago and what it was. And I said, you know, what it was is that I was really reminded how Hannah brought Samuel into the house of the Lord. And there he learned to serve all of the things of the priesthood. And that our next generation is that Samuel that is brought into the house of the Lord. And so the direction of the parenting in my heart changed. Lord, I want to raise my children to know how to serve you in your house. Amen. But much more than that, it changed my view on all of the children of the church. Amen. And all of the children of the brothers and sisters. When I was serving in the children's meeting, my heart became that, Lord, how do the children behave in your house? Amen. And so my heart for correcting the children was no longer, oh my goodness, that behavior is driving me crazy. My heart for the children became, this is not acceptable in the Lord's house. And you need to have the kingdom in mind that you are being raised to serve in his house. Amen. And it really transformed my heart to be with the children in a different way and to see them all as not just mine, but the Lord's children, right? And to treat them the way I would treat my own. Amen. And to raise them in the way that the Lord has Amen. Taught us to raise our children. Amen. So I know that sometimes, you know, I felt like, oh Lord, did I overstep my boundary because they're not mine? And the Lord's reminders, if the heart is to train them up in the Lord's ways, then may my heart always be before the Lord in the training up and the raising up of the next generation. Amen. May the Lord really bless our next generation Amen. To know Amen. Him and to serve him in his house. Amen. Amen.